Hi, I'm Victoria Manelli.
Hi.
Thanks, Tony. And thanks, everybody. I am feeling a little bit nervous. It's been a while. I did a share about 3 weeks ago, but before then, it's been quite a while. I'm also an old-timer. I've been around 27 years, and it's been a good time. I have some people here that have been with me through quite a lot of those years that I'm very grateful for. My main fear is, and you made it worse, is that I'm going to dry up. I've never spoken for 40 minutes, you know, and you managed to fit 29 years in 15 minutes, I think. How am I going to do, you know? But anyway, I'm going to start also at the beginning. My using was similar to yours in many ways. I think I knew that something was wrong before I started taking drugs. For me, drugs were like a lifesaver in a sense. I was a really, really unhappy child, really felt outside, didn't seem that I fit in, you know, found it difficult to make friends. Felt really judged, you know, tough. And when drugs came in, for me, it was a way to connect with others, to have fun, to relax, to forget about my problems, forget about my family. It was a good way to come out of myself, in a sense, you know. And but from the beginning, I could see that I used drugs too much. You know, everybody told me since I was 12, you know. I think the first time, not the first time that I drank, but very soon after I passed out, you know, and then when I started doing other drugs, I always did more than everybody else, and I always had more serious consequences than others. Although I have to say, sometimes and for a while, when I look at things, you could say that my drug using was a little bit glamorous because I did manage at some points to have a good job. I managed to get a job that I wanted. I was an air hostess for a while, and you know, I traveled the world. And I, things often cracked. You know, the job that I had before that, I messed it up with because of drugs. And with this one, for example. Some things were funny, you know, like I was going somewhere and I got to say to people that we were going somewhere else and everybody stood up thinking, oh my God, I'm in the wrong plane, you know, but, or I threw up in the middle of the, you know, here is this hostess coming in and, you know, and stuff like that. But, and I had some fun. I crashed this job and I crashed everything, you know, that I tried. Every so often, thought like a geographical. It's funny because I've traveled a lot more in recovery than being on a hostess because I couldn't get married together to travel, you know, and I had free tickets, you know, but you know, when I wasn't working, I was using, and when I was working, I was using, you know, and. Soon that started going down. I couldn't hold that job, and I worked in a pub for a while, and then not even that, you know. And then I had to start stealing, things got really bad where I used to wake up clacking and trying to go and find money, and money was every day the issue, you know, where am I going to get the money? And sometimes I didn't get it, and it was. Whereas at the beginning I had been like a way of out of how I was feeling, and a bit of freedom and a little bit of life. It suddenly shrink since until my life. It was just the room where I was using, where there was blood in the walls, and it was all about using. You know, everything. There was nothing else, and. By that time I was here in London, as you probably have gathered from my accent, I'm not a native. For the first time, at the beginning I thought this would, London for me was I felt a little bit protected because there was needle exchanges and there was all that, you know, and they gave you, you know, clean water and all that kind of things. And they also had DDU where I used to go and get my methadone, and in that DDU there was an NA meeting, and I had tried giving up giving up using before, I think I'm going to have to talk about that. I've only done 5 minutes, and I go to my sponsor, told me, make sure you get to your rock bottom about on the dot, and I have 15 minutes and I go to my rock bottom. So I'm going to go step back, and I had tried, why no, I'm an addict, I tried before, you know, and I have had previous rock bottoms. Rewind a few years, and I find myself in Germany, in a mental health, like you mentioned, in a mental health institution, as well, this time I had done a lot of amphetamines and LSD, and my brain was not very well. And I'm there, and I don't speak the language, and there's no doctor that speaks any English even, or Spanish, or anything Spanish, no way. And I'm sort of terrified. I'm thinking, oh, fuck. You know, they have locked me in this place for nothing, and oh my God, you know, like the sense of what have I done, you know. And I was there for a good week and a half, I think, before I managed to speak with anybody that could understand me. And I thought, this is it, you know. Eventually I was there for a while, and then they managed to contact my family and they sent me back to Spain. And I said to myself, this is it, you know, Victoria, that's it, you know, you cannot use, this is no good. My family, obviously, they were, my God, you know, what are you doing? So, but my arrogance, you know, a few days later they said, you know, we found a place, a treatment center. They said, we found a treatment center, they want to speak with you. I said, no, I don't need a treatment center, I'm fine. Go on and speak with them, maybe you can teach them something. Oh, okay, I'll go and teach them something. And so I went, they spoke with me, and they thought, she's not ready for recovery, obviously, you know, I mean, she's coming to teach us. And right, in a few months I was back using, and not a few months, I don't even think I made the month. I said to myself, I'm just going to drink, and then I said, I'm just going to puff, and then I said, I'm just going to use a little bit of coke, and then I ended up in the same place, you know. I think this was the one time I tried to give up, and then there was the time in London. And when I was in London, you know, I'm just going to go for it. I just started going to these meetings, and I remember the people that I will always remember, the guy that took that meeting, and he's such a lovely guy. But I remember him sharing, when I went there, they didn't seem to be like me. They, you know, and when the first share I heard, and I want to tell you this. The first share I heard, I thought, you have not done this. You cannot have done this. You can. And eventually, they had been using the drugs that I had been using. And I want to tell you, I know that after me, there's been a lot of new drugs. I've worked sometimes with. But if I haven't used your drugs, don't worry. Somebody else has, and they have managed to get recovery. So just wait for somebody. You know. They managed to get to me, you know. The only thing that I heard at that time, you know, if I'm honest, is what they have been using, and I saw that they were well. I also judged them a little bit because they seem a little bit soft and they hug, and for me that was all like, oh no, you know, I was you wouldn't have recognized me. It's been a long time, you know. I have this long hair, and I look very obviously skinny, and. And I was, I am a lot softer now, a lot softer. I was very judgmental, and But they were, it's funny, because at the same time that I thought they were a little bit soft, I always remember this guy, and he was the huggiest bear that you ever seen, you know? And that's what I liked about him, even though I judge him, you know, for it. And then I remember a girl, I was really trying to stop using, you know, but I was living with my husband, who was also a junkie, and it was not possible. This girl said, try for a minute. Yeah, I'll try for a minute, but I just couldn't do it. You know, maybe I would manage a little bit and he would come and, you know. I even tried, I got a ticket. I got a friend of mine to send me a ticket to return to Spain, and I didn't make it, you know. I wasted that ticket because on the time I went to score and I didn't make it, you know. So the people from the meeting, they told me that, why don't you try and get into treatment? And they sort of told me who I needed to speak with in the DDU that I was going to, because, you know, basically I was getting methadone and exchanging it for gear and then scoring more, you know, it just wasn't working. And I spoke with them, and slowly, at that time, I know it's a lot harder nowadays, but at that time it was relatively easy to get into treatment, so I did get into treatment. And I am glad. I mean, I've seen people getting clean in the rooms, and I have huge amount of respect, because I think it is possible, but detoxing and the hell you find yourself once you're clean, and doing it that with your drugs next to you, I mean, it's hard even in treatment. You know, you said it, it's not easy what we're doing here. It's not easy. So I went to treatment, and it was a 12-step treatment, and I did. I'm very, very grateful. I mean, it was the first time, you know, in years that I had a clean room, that I ate, and that I didn't use for a while. They detox you, so you didn't, you did clog, but it was all right. It wasn't unbearable. So I got that little bit of time to get myself strong physically a little bit, put some weight, and work the five steps and go to lots of meetings. And I said I look very different. And also, I'm talking here in front of a mic, and I'm not feeling too nervous now, you know. But at the time, even sharing, I would tremble. You know, I was. I found it so difficult to talk about myself, to just simply talk, you know. But I went to quite a lot of meetings. I started making connections, and the one thing that I think is the most important thing, if you want to be clean, you know, there's, I have a little paper, because today I spoke with my ex, and he said, I said, I'm doing the 40 minutes, he said, oh my God, and he said, some people write something, I said, oh no, I haven't written anything, I'm going to wing it, and then I thought about it, I thought, oh no, I'm going to write something, so before I was waiting for my friend, I wrote some things, and the things that I said, I thought I have to share about is meetings, steps, service, and meeting step service and sponsor. So so those are the things. But the one thing you cannot do without if you want to stay clean, in my experience, is meetings. You know, when everything has gone wrong and when things are really, really difficult, which sometimes they get really difficult in recovery, meetings is what the basic, you know. If things are bad, put more meetings. If I'm finding it very difficult, or if I'm lacking in whatever, I just put more meetings, and it's like my safety. And over that, I build the other things, you know. And so I started to go in lots of meetings when I was in treatment, and I made some connections. And then when I left treatment, that was for me, you mentioned the first 2 years, the first years of recovery, if you are on it, just hold on. It's not an easy, it's one of the hardest things you've ever done, but one of the best things you do for yourself. That's for me, you know, it's my experience. I also had Cloud Nine. I also had some moments of feeling, you know, feeling that sense of, you know, suddenly thinking, oh my God, you know, I'm clean, you know, or my God, I don't have to go and wake up and go and find money, you know, I am okay, you know, those. But at the same time, there were moments that my life was empty. I had to build, what am I doing in life? You know, I found it difficult to brush my teeth. I found it difficult to go to a meeting. I found it difficult to get dressed. Everything was, I had no idea what to do with my life. And all I knew was meetings, you know. I went to treatment in Bristol. I came back to London. And that was a really tough time for me because I had to go to meetings myself with my own motivation. I had to, take care of myself, and I didn't know how to. But I just did what I told you. I went to lots of meetings and hold on and made friends. And slowly things got better. I made some friends in NA, and there were crazy times. We did, we got a little posse, and you used to hang around a lot, and we went clubbing, and we went, we did a lot of stuff together, and it was really nice. Like I said, it was like very extreme. Some days I would feel like great, and I would have great fun, and because it was a thing about discovering who I was and what I wanted to do with my life and what I enjoy doing, and doing it without drugs. And that's not easy, you know, for me anyway. It's not easy to say, this is what I want to do and I'm gonna do it. But also I had to deal with a lot of a backlog of what I've done and who I was as well, you know. I have done quite a lot of therapy. Some people don't need it. I needed it because my brain, it's my brain. So, one thing I like to share with you is so you learn from my mistakes, so you don't make them, ideally. At some point I thought, I was doing therapy and I was obsessing about I started to go into less meetings. For me, that was a mistake. I soon realized that the basis, and this is how I live now today, the sort of base where I stand is NA, you know. And over that, I put other things that may help me with other things, you know. And I've done quite a lot of things in my life that have helped me, and the more I do, the better. But if I forget the base, everything crumbles, you know. And it is my experience, I haven't done it that many times, but I remember one time I did it and made it very difficult. So where was I? Meeting. So. About the beginning of recovery. And about finding out who I was and what I wanted. I had to, let's wait for the music. Here comes the sun. I had to get on with the backlog of my childhood, my fried brain with the drugs, you know. There were a lot of feelings inside myself that were very difficult to handle. And something else I didn't do well, and I don't recommend it either, and that's why I say it, so you also don't do it. I worked steps 1 to 5 at the beginning of in treatment, and then got a sponsor and started working the steps 1 to 3, and my sponsor left, and then I started again, but loosely, you know. I wasn't one of these people that comes in, and I think with the years, I really think it's a disservice to people in newcomers. I think it's really important. When I said the most important thing is meetings. The other thing that I think is super important if you want to have a good quality of life is the steps. I didn't do it, and I think that's why I found it so hard. I think it's hard anyway, but if you don't work the steps, it's even harder, because with the steps, you change all that thing that's making you uncomfortable, you know, and you get the support within yourself and with the steps that will help you to deal with all those, all that stuff that is, in my opinion, within myself. That's what makes me an addict, you know. And if you don't do that, you can't survive sometimes. Sometimes you don't. Some people, I've seen people relapse. Life is really challenging, you know. I was fortunate that I got a really good sponsor who has been in the fellowship for years, and I got to her by doing service, and that's the other thing that I recommend, because also it helps you grow and it gives you self-esteem. One of the things that I have very little of was self-esteem. I didn't appreciate myself. And when you do stuff, for others, you feel better about yourself. And I started doing service. I was sharing with a friend recently. My first service commitments were, difficult. I found it to have a commitment for a year. For me, was a very alien proposition. You know. I would like to know somebody, and when they were getting to know me, I would move on. The first few times I didn't manage to make the year. And also something else, somebody landed a treasury commitment on me early on, and don't do that with people. You know, I had. It was awful to me. I didn't steal it, but but I was very close to it, and I went back and handed back. At the beginning, I have to say also, at the beginning of my recovery, I continued to steal for a while, but then that stopped. And it stopped because once you're in recovery, you start noticing how you feel, and I didn't feel comfortable about it. It stopped. But anyway, I was talking about service. After a while, I managed to finish a year, and I felt really proud of myself that I managed to, I think, I can't remember what I did the first time, but I remember my first secretary commitment, and I've also done tea, and then GSR I tried. I find it, with my difficulties socially, you know, GSR is really, for me, although I recommend it, you know, but you have to find, everybody is good at something, you know. I did conventions for 3 years, and I really enjoyed that. I did the childcare, which I feel passionate about that NA, and I've been in other countries, and London, we are really fortunate, you know, we're really fortunate because there's lots of meetings, but also because we support women with children, you know, and that's not always the case. And I've seen women with children in meetings, and sometimes they're okay, but sometimes people are not nice to them and they feel uncomfortable, you know. I've been going to women's meetings with crushes for a while. I really am in favor of them. I support them. I was fortunate, or not, not to have children when I was using, but I have been definitely very blessed to have a daughter while using, while clean. Oh God. You know, she's gone to crashes a lot, and she, you know, yeah. Otherwise, I wouldn't, you know, I think it's really, really important. So because I benefited from it, and because also after having gone to women's meetings, I've seen, I have tremendous respect about how these women recover, how their life changes, and also how they change the life of their children, the passion they have for their children. You know, it's just beautiful to see this woman change and hold on their families, and it's impressive. So because of that, I became quite involved in service with around the crèche work, and so I did that outside of the convention and in the convention, and then I did the design in the convention, and I really enjoyed that. It was lovely. A little bit of ego for me there, but it was also letting go, and it was very nice to let go and enjoy and do something and hand it over, and really enjoyed that. I did that for 2 years, and so while I was doing that, I met my current sponsor, who I really appreciate, and she's really into service and really into the steps. And with her, I finally managed to do my 12 steps. And I have to say, really has helped me to change inside and to feel more at ease in myself and to feel more acceptance, you know. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the steps. So step one, I've already told you, is the thing of I don't have power over drugs, you know, and that I've already said about it. Step two and three, for me, one of the things that I love about NA is that there is no prescription. You don't need to believe or not believe. For me, during these 27 years, I've changed a lot. Sometimes I've been gung-ho that I really believe because I found it helped me. And then sometimes I have no faith whatsoever. You know, when life, life in life terms can be beautiful. And I have had tremendous gifts, you know, in recovery. I have, like I told you, for me it's a journey of loving myself and getting to know what I like and doing it. And I have done a lot of that. I have studied. Art is something that I love to do. I got funded, I have done exhibitions, I have traveled, I have recuperated my family, I have started a family myself. So life, I think I'm really grateful for what I've received in recovery. But also, I have lost both my parents, one of them to cancer, and then soon after I thought I had cancer, and then I had to have an operation that was very challenging. Then for a while I had Hep C, but Hep C I clear on my own, so that I'm very grateful for. And also losing relationships. You said you didn't have much to share about relationships. I have a lot to share about surviving relationships. You know, when things go wrong, well, not a lot. I have the basics that everybody knows, you know. When my relationships went wrong, when my family died, you know what I did? I went to a meeting and cried, you know. And people came, gave me a hug. Then I may call my sponsor, call a friend. This is what I know helps me to survive. You know, whatever happens, I just get the support that there is in the fellowship. And on those occasions when life is really tough, I found it very hard to believe in a higher power. You know, very hard. Just thought, I'm not going to swear because we're not meant to, but I thought, I can't believe it. You know, just sort of anger on why are you doing this to me? And my sponsor, I've talked with my sponsor about it, and also it's not prescriptive, which I like. And for me, is when I don't have faith, I just go to meetings, and just keep. And then something for me right now, I don't understand any of it, but there is something I support myself with. And it can be, sometimes it's in the meetings, sometimes it's going for a walk in nature, sometimes I meditate quite a lot, so sometimes just feeling my body and breathing, and this is, for me, the step two and three, find your own and play and experiment with it. The other thing about it is insanity. I had no problem about my insanity. I had been in a mental institution. I knew I was an addict, so And then four, for me, it was very good, and I've done a few, and it was the way I got to know myself, the good and the bad, you know, and accepted it. And the more I've done step fours, the more I feel I'm more able to find good things, because the first one was like in treatment, I just couldn't find anything to say, you know, what are your assets? They ask, you have to go and ask other people, and I did that, you know, and I didn't believe them when they said anything. But nowadays there are things that I believe are good about myself, and I am happy to say it, and I'm not embarrassed about it. So it's a good. So for me, step four is great for that, to get to know you and accept yourself. And five, to share. The first one in treatment, it was excruciating. The one I did with my last sponsor was nice. And it's nice to say where you've been, what you've done, your dark secrets, and somebody says, yeah, that's all right, I've done that, or similar, and you don't feel on your own, you know. And six and seven for me were very good, in the sense that once you know what, for me, rather than defense, although I don't have a problem calling them defense because mine were very defective, but for me, it's the things that hurt me. There are things that in me that I do repeatedly that hurt me, you know, and I wanted to change those. And it was like, look, and this is what you do, this is the patterns, this is the way you hurt yourself and others, because I also hurt others, you know. When you're damaged, you damage others, you know. And realizing that, and then asking my higher power to be relief of them, is really, you know, and you, my experience, it doesn't happen as quickly as I would have liked to, you know, but it's a relief, because, you know, if I see something happening that I don't like about myself, I say to myself, okay, I'm trying, I've asked for help, if it's still there, I'm gonna forgive myself. And that's great for me, you know, not to punish myself about my defects. You know, I accept my defects as well, you know. And I am a human being, and there's many things, you know, and I have gone through a lot of, in recovery, things that I've done obsessively and compulsively that have hurt me in many areas, you know. Fortunately, a lot of them have eased out. It's like it goes here, you stop it, but it loses strength. It goes somewhere else, you stop it, each time it's less strong. And I'm not very compulsive at the moment, and I'm very grateful for that. NA only promises us freedom from addiction, and I have got that and a lot more. I've got freedom from a lot of my defects, a lot of my compulsions, and amends. I'm still ongoing with some of my amends, and I think it's. I'm still doing some of my financial amends and amends to my family ongoing, but it's the way I have reconnected with my family, you know, and friends. It's nice that I've managed to use the amends to do that. And then step 10, I keep on working on the step 10, because for a while I stop, and I think it's really important, whatever you do, either for me, either I recommence with the steps, or I stay on a step 10 and keep on with 11 and 12. Because if I'm not doing something every day with my steps, I feel I go back, you know, it's very easy to go back. The spiral down is quick. And if you just keep it slowly, slowly, you're always getting better and better, better, slowly. But in my experience, I don't stand still. Either I go back or I keep on going forward. I keep on doing my step 10s. I do it very simply now. I just write, or sometimes if I'm very tired, think about it. What I'm grateful for, and if there's something that I feel guilty about that I need to make amends for, and if there's something I want to ask my higher power help with, and that's what I'm doing at the moment. And then 11, I meditate a lot. I've tried all sorts of different things, and my thing now is I've been doing yoga for years and years and years, and I do, because I hurt my body for such a long time, and I like being nice to my body, and I found it very difficult to just sit still, but if I'm moving in stillness and focusing on myself, I find that meditation. I also like I said, walking in nature, and so that's my step 11. And 12 is doing this and the service that I've told you about. So I'm doing well. I managed to have 5 minutes. I'm going to check if I said everything I... good, I think I have. Yeah, I have yet today. I think the rest I've told you about, meeting steps, service, I've said about my sponsor, who is lovely. and also, it's a nice thing because there's something about sponsorship that it links you up, you know, and links you down. It's a sort of link, it's a chain. And if it's a strong chain, it will hold you, you know. And it's a chain of people like you. One thing, so I heard people having sponsors that are very sort of telling you what to do. Some people need it. I'm not going to say how a sponsor needs to be, but in my opinion, I needed a sponsor like mine who doesn't, just tells me about the steps and her experience. And that's what I read in the pamphlet, and that's what I want. So it's very sort of, she just listens to me, she has a lot of experience, shares her experience, and works the steps, and always asks me questions. Have you been going to meetings, and what service are you doing, how is your meeting, and that's it. And I have my sisters in recovery who are, you know, her sponsees as well, and we are a family in a sense. So yeah, I'm feeling a little bit in that. It's nice. I think that's all. I told you about my blessings. I'm just gonna talk a little bit more about my daughter. Is one of my biggest blessings. She's 17 now. She's beautiful, and I'm terrified that she's gonna follow my steps. Her dad is an addict in recovery. I'm an addict. My father was an addict. I think an alcoholic. His mother was an alcoholic and an addict. You know, it's like genetic. You know, I don't know if it's genetic. You know, but I just don't want her to go through the hell I've been through. And she came back the other day and she threw up. And oh God. My sponsor says she's got her own higher power. I'm trying to trust that. I have to say, at the same time, she's a beautiful child, and by the time she's there, I would have known. I was already crashing, you know. By 17, I wasn't living with my parents, you know. So she's living with me, still standing, she's doing well. It was, I hope it was alcohol, and I hope she learns. The thing is also that it's wonderful that my sponsor has her own children in the fellowship. And if she goes through that path, at least she has my experience, and she knows the way, she knows what she needs to do. So hopefully she won't need to go so down, you know. And I pray, you know, that she doesn't, you know. But it is a great blessing to see a human being grow, and she really has a massive heart, you know. Me and her dad, my God. So that's I'm not gonna talk about that because my time is over. So I'm just gonna just want to thank you all very much for listening. If you got something great. If not, keep on hanging around, because we are a lot of people. We are all very different, but we have something in common, and it's this great thing that we are alive, wanting to be alive and not kill ourselves. So, thank you.